I'm Dan Carell, CEO of the Digital Commerce Alliance, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if you like this podcast, come join us at a Digital Commerce Alliance event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week, I'm talking with Joe Fitzgerald, the co-founder and the CEO of Definitive. Definitive has introduced a new platform they call Smart Offers, focused on significantly improving card-linked offer benefits for FIs, merchants, and for consumers. Joe and I are talking about the growing gap between app-based consumer experiences, especially what Gen Z is most used to now, and what the card-linked offer environment currently delivers, the big forces that are reshaping the CLO environment, and how that may or may not fix the stuck flywheel of card-linked offers. We're talking a little bit about what is a card-linked offer anyway. And we're also talking about the durable allure of Golden Retriever videos, the untold story of behind-the-scenes battle over Definitive's logo. Spoiler alert, it's not a Golden Retriever. We threw in an impromptu Irish Spring ad in there, and much, much more. So stay tuned for a deep dive into the future and transformation of card-linked offers. A conversation with Joe Fitzgerald of Definitive. This episode of Commerce Code is brought to you by Agio, a global leader in engagement platform technologies that create compelling experiences, foster people connections, and cultivate brand advocates worldwide. With more than 45 years of experience, Agio empowers Fortune 500 companies to deliver extraordinary brand experiences for employees, consumers, channel partners, subscribers, and members. Fueled by a holistic engagement ecosystem across workplace engagement, experiential, social activation, customer loyalty, and digital asset experiences, Agio's mission is inspiring people to achieve more, one interaction, transaction, and experience at a time. Agio. Engagement unleashed. Joe, really great to have you today on Commerce Code, and exciting conversation ahead of us. We're going to talk about what CLO is, where it's headed, and some other terrific topics. But first of all, where are you joining us from today?
Morning, Dan. Joining you from northern New Jersey, about 10 miles outside of Manhattan.
Terrific. Well, look, you and I have had some really interesting conversations over the last year or so, and another one more recently that we wanted to bring on to the podcast, really about the state of CLOs, card-linked offers. But in particular, you've done some research in the course of your work at Definitive, and I'd just love to hear a little bit more on what you're finding from that consumer research with some of the top card issuers in the CLO programs. What are you learning that's interesting to you?
Yeah, so a number of things, Dan. So we did a lot of research, and as you mentioned, we did some consumer research. We actually did hands-on evaluation with the card-linked offer programs from the top six or seven card issuers, and even looked at, you know, offer programs from other payment providers like, you know, PayPal and Apple Pay and things like that. There's no shortage, as it turns out, of card-linked offers. You know, most Americans have a lot of credit cards, and most of those credit cards now have offer programs. But we dug in deep and, you know, put hands-on to those programs. We also did consumer testing, particularly focused on Gen Z, where we said, hey, you know, what would the ideal offers experience look like and feel like for you? So we had some very interesting research, you know, in that area.
I guess the most obvious question there, Joe, is how much of a generational divide is there? I'll just paint myself here, and because it's kind of true, as a generation theory skeptic. In other words, I think that if something is annoying, doesn't work well, or does work well, or whatever, for somebody who's as old as me, it's probably annoying for people who are younger, and vice versa. But, you know, there are also manifestly generational differences in some area. I can't for the life of me make Instagram work. I can't. I'm told that there are things. I try to do the things. It never works. So generationally, what do you find is like different about the Gen Z experience with CLO?
Well, it's stark, actually, when you dig into it, Dan. You know, Gen Z, you know, as of January this year, mobile became the dominant platform for shopping. And a lot of the CLO offers, you know, started life in a printed brochure somewhere, right? And eventually became, you know, a web-based brochure, and then became, you know, tiles in a bank app or portal, right? So the whole CLO sort of, you know, interface is incredibly dated when you look at mobile users, right? Using, you know, gesture-based apps, swiping and liking and favoriting and following and doing things like that. And then you go back to the CLO stuff and you're like, ooh, this is, there's a huge gap between the user experience and the friction between those two things.
Yeah, we've talked about friction before, Joe, with you just at Digital Commerce Alliance events and other contexts. And needless to say, the interface is very different. You're right. And it feels in a weird way like a throwback to a different, you know, an earlier era, I guess is what you're saying, with the way that some of the card-linked offer functionality works, right? As opposed to the day-to-day experience you're having, like the more you are sort of app-based in your work. Is there a big piece of it that feels like the most friction?
Well, there's a couple of different friction points. And specifically as it relates to the offers, let's say the card-linked offer programs, Dan, if you think about it, I'm not a big social app user, but you know, I get a steady diet of dog videos from my wife and kids, specifically around, you know, golden retrievers, because I have a couple. And so what's happened is without me ever saying I like dogs or I like golden retrievers specifically, I get a steady diet. If I sign onto one of those apps right now, I'm going to get a steady diet of things. So what's happening is, basically, the data that is coming out of just interacting with those apps is driving personalization and really providing a lot of information that is absolutely missing from the whole, you know, CLO ecosystem.
My whole problem with Instagram was I didn't used to have a problem with Instagram because I just wasn't on it. But then I was on it because, and I wouldn't say that it's breed specific. I have a breed agnostic dog video thing happening on Instagram, and I go there so that I can see those videos. And then, silly me, I will be tempted to believe that I can find other things, specific things that other people have posted. And in a way, I guess it reflects what you've just said, which is that my assumption is that I can, and I know it's possible, but that I can go in and just sort of find whatever I want when I think the nature of the platform is a little bit more that it's going to feed me the things that it thinks that I want. And often it's true.
Yeah, and I think this crosses the whole line of personalization, right? I think everybody having anything to do with data or offers basically talks about, you know, personalization and how they've been, you know, doing it for years. And now they're using AI to even personalize it more. And, you know, when we actually dug into the research and put hands on and got feedback from consumers about their current active card-linked offer programs, personalization was very low. It kept getting offers. You know, we had vegans getting, you know, steak offers and people with no cars or EVs getting, you know, gas discounts. It was amazing how not personalized these offers were, right? That just adds to the friction because if I get a bunch of offers that are totally irrelevant to me, it sort of creates offer noise. Mm-hmm. And I can't buy the offers that are really meaningful to me, right? So the sort of the poor, you know, dated experience combined with the, what are all these offers that are irrelevant to me, right? That I have to wade through just sort of builds on that friction.
Yeah. I think of it as the haystack problem. You know, the steak offers, you know, for the vegan and this kind of stuff, just the sheer volume of stuff that doesn't come to you. And I guess this is the point in a way of Instagram and TikTok, right? Which is that there's not a haystack of stuff that you're not interested in. There's a few things I think that'll come across my feed that I'm like, okay, that's not me, but it's not, I guess there's two points about that, right? One is it's easy to get rid of those things with a flick of the thumb or whatever. And the other is that it's a relatively low rate. Right. And so the stuff that comes on is pretty interesting. So, and these are real problems. And I also just assume that in the card linked offer space, you know, the magnitude of the technologies and the market and this kind of stuff involved, it's going to be harder to build, you know, the Instagram, if you will, of CLO tailoring. But there are some big forces that are driving change in CLOs these days. And again, you and I have chatted a little, and I've heard a little bit more lately people talking about, well, you know, what is a card linked offer anyway? There's a lot of different things going on now and a bunch of changes taking place as we sit here. And, you know, so in your view, what are the big forces that are driving change right now in card linked offers?
Well, let's step back for a second. You know, kind of, you know, we throw around card linked offer, you know, kind of as if it's a, you know, standard, well-defined term. But I would question, you know, is card linked offer something that was based off of a transaction history for a cardholder? Is it because the offer is presented in the card issuer's app or portal? Is it because I get the credit or the rewards or the miles back in my, you know, my card issuer account or all of those? Because it really changes sort of, you know, okay, you know, what is a card linked offer and what are derivatives or what's going on right around those different areas? There's huge issues now around, you know, data privacy and sharing. Can you actually share the data from your transactions with somebody outside of the financial institution? there's a lot of changes going on. The other thing before we get into the major changes I think are going on is, you know, the friction that we uncovered, we tried to measure what was the impact of that friction on card-linked offers. Mm-hmm. Right? It's one thing to say, there's a lot of friction. Okay, well, does that make you go slower? Does that cause more drag? Is it more expensive? Do you, right. Like, what happens? So what we did was, in addition to our hands-on research and our testing with consumers, you know, actually providing an offer app to them, we did a lot of research from industry analysts, financial analysts, publicly available disclosures from some of the companies, both on the card issuer and the ecosystem side, and of course the DCA research. And what we found was the result of all that friction and poor experience ends up being in very low engagement, very low utilization, very low redemption rates, which really limits really what's possible out of a really efficient, well-run card-linked offer stack versus what's out there today.
No doubt. And I wonder, as we sit here and, you know, we look at different developments in the marketplace, different technologies, and you look at the, I'll just say, growing gap between tech expectations for even a dinosaur like me, but acutely for Gen Z, as you guys have pointed out. Does that mean that, you know, card-linked offers are a shrinking opportunity? Like, where's this thing headed? Is there some other thing that's going to come along? I mean, what's your view on where CLO is going to go?
So I think CLO is done right. Basically create an incredible flywheel. If you do it right, it's a win-win-win for both the financial institution, who's in the middle, the consumers who want to save, and the merchants that are trying to target and find their best customers. Done right, it's a win-win-win for all of those. So I think that's why CLOs are still so topical, right, are so important, right? But the flywheel is not there. The flywheel is not functioning as well as it could, right? So I think the changes that are coming to each of those three constituents in card-linked offer, the FI, the consumer, and the merchant, right? The changes that are coming there, I think, will create the opportunity. And that's where Definitive is working, around creating that flywheel.
What would you say are one or two of the biggest or the most consequential changes that will kind of push us in the direction where the whole thing, you know, starts really going? I like the, you know, the idea of a flywheel. I feel the difference when I, you know, when I think about some of the longstanding stuff that's been running forever, and whether you call any of this card-linked offer, it's, you know, your hotel and airline membership things where people will organize their lives around maintaining their whatever status on Delta. And that's just sort of not what's going on with your typical merchant level CLO these days. So to me, that's a flywheel, right? Where you have a bunch of reinforcing incentives that all just go in the same direction. Would love to get your sense of, like, what are the one or two big changes that can take place to get this going in the right way for card-linked offers across a broader spectrum?
Look, you're seeing some hugely successful loyalty programs like you described, right? You know, yeah. Airlines, the hotels, and some of those things. But from a consumer point of view, if you think about it, you know, watching, you know, even today's news about the economy and inflation rates and things like that, consumers, you know, are trying to save money anywhere they can. They'll switch brands. They're becoming very, you know, disloyal to save money. They're buying down, right? If you listen to the large retailers, they're desperate to save money. And, you know, they're sort of drowning in an ocean of potential savings, right? Card-linked offers, almost every major card issuer has card-linked offers now, right with your cards. I think MasterCard at the last DCA event said that, you know, the average consumer gets 10,000 adverts a day. Mm-hmm. They're just bombarded with emails. They have 17 loyalty programs on average, of which they participate in about 7 or 8. Okay. There's new payment types, right? The average American has 4+ credit cards. That doesn't count cash, Venmo, Zelle, you know, all these other things. And offers now are starting to show up on everything from Robinhood to, you know, airline programs. You can get a, you know, hardware discount by going to an airline app program. Right. So there's offers everywhere. But for the consumer, it's sort of like they're drowning in potential offers, but it's really hard for them to use, measure, and bring those offers in. And this is a big issue, I think, for card-linked offers in particular. It's not connected with the customer shopping journey. I don't know anyone who says, I'm going, you know, back to school shopping at the mall. Let me open my bank app.
Or your airline app when you're at Home Depot.
Right. I'm going to buy a wrench at the hardware store. Let me check my airline app to see if I have a discount for the hardware store. That is like, forget the poor experience and the friction. There's a context issue. So, you know, where the offers are presented sometimes is very orthogonal to the shopping journey of the consumer. Now, there are other things going on adjacent to card-linked offers. If you look at what's going on with the financial institutions, a number of them Citibank recently announced a new shopping portal. Capital One has a shopping portal. You're seeing more and more browser extensions, right? Citibank announced one, Capital One has one. Honey claims they've been driving a lot of revenue for PayPal in the past couple of years, getting involved in the shopping journey at different points in time. So part of, you know, what's changing on the consumer behavior side is their shopping journey changed, starts with social, probably running on a mobile device, and they want app experiences that are much more like, you know, the social apps and the other, you know, things they're used to using. And then trying to, you know, somehow sift through the noise and the possible permutations of savings is a real challenge.
Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about the social media and other kind of context. I mean, I guess the advantage social media has is that for people like me and you, there really is no time of day when you might not decide to watch, you know, a Corgi video or seven. But I still do wonder, though, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I still do wonder how some of the advertising stuff on social performs in terms of its push through to, you know, behavior, right? So it might be that I'm not getting, you know, hardware discount ads on social media. They tend to be maybe different stuff. But do you feel like social media has solved that problem to an extent, or is ubiquitous enough that it's not as much of an issue?
No, I think so. So my comments on social media are this, Dan. It's a disruptor. In the following way, right? You know, shopping on TikTok, for example, right, has become a huge business, and it tends to be, social platforms are great for awareness. They're also great for impulse buying. You see a really cool phone battery charger stand thing or whatever on TikTok, and you might buy it right then and there. You're not gonna TikTok your way through soap and shampoo and toothpaste and stop what you're doing in your stream of consciousness, you know, browsing cool dog videos and go say, let me go order, you know, this six pack of soap. Right. And so shopping on social is big and it's impactful. Right. It's great for awareness. And a lot of brands are putting energy into it. But it, in some cases, it's the start of a shopping journey. That shopping journey used to be cookie based, where, you know, you sat down in your browser, you did some Googling, you went to some websites, and this cookie in the background was tracking you and your shopping journey. There is no cookie from TikTok to your shopping journey. Right. So the other disruption, right, is the whole, how do I even figure out what the consumer shopping journey is? And how do I get involved in that in a potentially cookie-less world with all sorts of privacy and tracking constraints now? So social is involved, but it's a lot of awareness and impulse buying, and they would certainly like to have you buy everything there, but that's not going to happen.
And now a word from our sponsor, Irish Spring. We would like you to buy 6 Irish Spring bars of... Yeah, I did was reminded, actually, Joe, that I need to buy soap, but that... So I'm a little random in my stream of consciousness, but I was just imagining here on Commerce Code about, you know, we're here to do a thing. It has to do with a certain industry. We do have some ads that relate to the industry. And so it's all kind of a piece. And part of, I think, what we're trying to reconcile is sometimes you're able to get away with running. I mean, gosh, like even a big podcast that has big distribution that really is about a certain thing. I mean, I don't know if they run soap ads or not, but they will run ads for just straight up things that have nothing to do with the content of the podcast. I suppose some of that is just how narrow or broad is the audience? Do people come in expecting an ad for Irish Spring? Does that even exist anymore? I think it does. That's the green stuff. But we're trying to reconcile what's the mode, the moment, what does the audience expect or the person expect? And then how do you get them to move from kind of thought to action? I mean, obviously, this is the age-old issue with marketing and advertising and sales. So, you know, you're expecting a paradigm shift in CLO that's going to allow, you know, card-linked offers to show up differently in a way that's more relevant, right? But it's going to go through, it's just going to have, we've talked about less friction, which sort of is abstract, but there's also, I mean, we can feel it, it's real, right? There's a difference between a huge haystack, irrelevant offers, things that take a lot of, you know, clicking activation and all that stuff. I get it. But then what's your view, I guess, Joe, of the end state? If we're imagining, if it takes a few years, but a few years from now when things are different, what does it in broad strokes look like then?
Well, I think it's going to be integrated with the shopping journey. When do you see an offer will be integrated with your new shopping journey, if you will? What offers do you see? the personalization really needs to step up its game here. And one of the challenges on personalization is the lack of information or feedback from offers, right? So a lot of work is done on the targeting side, but then sort of the what did people do with the offers and how did they work with it really doesn't come back, right? So the personalization suffers. But the new one will be in your shopping journey. It will be personalized to you. It will be on probably mobile centric in terms of what's going to happen. And as you interact with those offers and card linked offers across the journey, that feedback is going to tailor when, where, and how you receive offers.
Do you have a feeling or an expectation of where the consumer is going to, from the consumer perspective, where they're going to be in the, I'm assuming, a device or like an app or whatever? We've talked a little about I'm probably not going to my airline app to get when I go to buy hardware or whatever, or maybe I'm not in my banking app, when I'm thinking about groceries. But where do you think the consumer is when they're, is there a central hub or something, or how does this work, where the consumer is picking up these offers in the future, do you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, there's not going to be a single place. So what's going to happen is the offer is going to have to come to the consumer. There's not going to be a single app, right? I know, and this may be a difference of opinion, I don't think there's going to be a bank super app where I go there mm-hmm. and I move my money around and I manage my investments and I do my shopping, mm-hmm. right? I don't believe that's going to happen. So I'm not a believer in the, super app that's going to do everything. You're actually seeing a lot of momentum the other way. There's specific apps to move cash or make investments or right. do whatever, right? So I think you're going to have to bring it to where the consumer is. So, if I'm shopping nearby location-based stuff, if you look at what Starbucks and Walmart are doing, if you're near a Starbucks and you have the loyalty app and you have location stuff on, they're going to try and induce you into that Starbucks to, get a latte. I think you're seeing some of the online journey stuff with, Honey probably, set the bar years ago when you were shopping and, you went to check out and Honey popped up and said, hey, when you save, $10 off your cart, they showed up, and saved you money as you were checking out. Merchants hate that, right? Because basically they're scraping coupons and they're doing things.
For sure.
So it's not sort of like merchant friendly. That's not exactly how they saw the world. But when you shop in person, or when you shop online, or when it's lunchtime or back to school time, or you're shopping for a wedding, there's a whole set of sort of contextual points to say, what does the person need to see at this point, right? What is the right offer at the right time to the consumer through the right vehicle? And I don't think there's going to be a single app where they go, I'm going shopping some way, let me go to this app. They will need to do offer discovery and awareness. In other words, there is a place where you need to see something about the offer or be enticed or nurtured, if you will. And I think that's another area that the existing CLOs sort of fall short. Most of them are like emailing you, hey, here's your May offers coming up, go check them out. Okay, well, that's not very compelling. I've got a million emails asking me to do something today, and that's another one I'm not going to do today. As opposed to, hey, Dan, I noticed from your spending history that you like Starbucks. And so there's a new offer for Starbucks. Thought you should know, check it out. Oh, that sounds great. That's one of my favorites. Or in the case of a challenger, Dan, because you like Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts would like to give you a great offer. Check this out. Right. And so that level of personalization and nurture, as opposed to, hey, your bill is due, here's some offers.
Right.
Here's even more offers. It's the nurtured noise hurts.
And from what, a few thoughts on that. I mean, one is just, you mentioned Starbucks, and I've had this thought before, but have never, I don't think, said it out loud. I mean, I find it more believable that Starbucks could end up almost falling backwards into a super app of sorts for certain kinds of people, right? In other words, easier to imagine that the evolutionary path is that Starbucks ends up being some kind of a central thing with other things bolted on than that my Wells Fargo app is going to morph into something that I want to be on every day, right? Look, if I'm going to go to get coffee or whatever. So just as an aside, right? Because there's a greater frequency of interaction, and there's a physical footprint that goes everywhere and all this kind of stuff. As I said, only for a certain layer of people, but it's kind of a big layer. So just for what it's worth. The other thing is, as you're talking about, friction and interaction and all this, I mean, the stuff that makes the apps work these days, best I can tell, is that you don't even actually have to consider a thing and and respond in any kind of a formal way that even involves reading, right? That you look at a thing that is the next thing on Instagram or whatever. The amount of time you spend before you flip off of it is essentially, I think, the input that they use to figure out whether to show it to you again or something like that. So you're talking about like, how soon does this person dispense with this? And then we'll just make inferences based on that, upgrade or downgrade the likelihood of that kind of a thing showing up again. And, you know, applying that to the offer environment could be pretty helpful too, right? So you see the stake thing and you flip off of it instantaneously, then that's going to provide a certain kind of feedback. And then you have the question that we've talked about for years, which is, you know, the number of different, you know, the amount of offers that are available, right? Because you start to need to feed more and more things to people, or at least you need to have a bigger warehouse of offers in order to be able to show narrower streams of offers to the people based on what they're interested in. So, I mean, all that stuff, I think, is very thought-provoking as far as where this could all head. And it is an interesting point about, we've talked about super apps for a long time and the fact that the West doesn't have them. It's remarkable. I was reading another article the other day about WeChat and just kind of like how much takes place in the Chinese language, both in China and the rest of the world on WeChat. So there really is a single platform for several billion, couple billion people in this world, but not for the most of the rest of us.
So Dan, let me comment on that, because it's a soapbox topic for me, and it's about the data. You know, the news is all about AI, the AI, you know, economy and everything else. Everything's like, how much AI do you have and when will you have it? This whole battle, you know, in the US about whether, you know, TikTok should be banned or something is about, where is the data? Who has the data? Mm-hmm. Personalization is all about the data. One of the reasons, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or any of these places, is so good at picking for you top content, is because they have data. There's zero-party data and first-party data. There's other kinds, but just to narrow the focus, zero-party data is something you tell me about yourself. I don't have a pet. Stop showing me pet offers.
Yeah.
That would be something that you would tell me. First-party data is something that I get from you, but you didn't like explicitly say it. And so when I go to TikTok and I see 10 videos and two of them are about cheerleading, or, you know, two of them are about cats or whatever it is, I go right past them. When I get to the one with the dog video, I stop and I look at it. So the data that I'll pick, you know, Instagram got from my viewing of those videos is totally was not into the cat video, totally not into the cheerleading thing. His kids are older. Dogs. He was on that dog video. As a matter of fact, he shared that dog video with some people and he came back and he watched it three times. And, you know, one dog video he watched for 5 seconds, but the golden retriever video, man, he consumed all 30 seconds of that video. He was a trooper on that video. So what does that mean? That data that they're getting, it's all about the data. AI is about training on the data. Personalization is about using the data. Now let me come back to the sort of an indictment of the current card-linked offers. When you see the current generation of card-linked offers, you know, sort of data point that they get from the current card-linked offers is when you activate or enroll an offer. They don't actually know how many people have seen an offer in many of these cases. And they don't know if you saw it at all, if you saw it 10 times, if you came back to it, right? They do know if you activated or enrolled it because you took a step. You clicked on it, you clicked into it, you did something there. And of course, they'll know if you redeem it. That's not exactly like a lot of data to build personalization on. So, you know, the current CLO system is sorely lacking in the data for personalization. And that's why in your Starbucks example, you know, people are taking, you know, Starbucks data and saying, well, you know, people who buy Starbucks also the pastries or like, you know, this certain kind of food, and then they can run, you know, cross programs or leverage that data. They find, you know, cohorts of people that, you know, like the same stuff. Card-linked offers is missing a lot of that data.
Do you think it can get there? I mean, I'm starting to imagine part of the thing with Instagram and TikTok is that they're videos, and so they tend to attract you for periods of time or not, right? And that's its own indicator, and then that creates its own data. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm starting to imagine videos in the card-linked offer space and going, wow, that's a lot of production, but maybe. Do you think that CLO can approach something like this where whatever the mode is, it's able to collect more granular data from users and then use that in order to serve them much more tailored stuff?
Well, here's where I'm going to talk about Definitive for a second, Dan. And you know, basically, in looking at the friction and looking at the missed opportunities and the sort of the stuck flywheel, this is exactly what we built in what we call our smart offer stack, right? Basically, we started with a clean sheet of paper right? We're a bunch of, you know, folks who've been doing, you know, enterprise software for decades. And we looked at this problem and said, wow, this is, you know, this is, there's a lot of incrementalism going on here while a paradigm shift is occurring. And we built a new stack. So we call it the Smart Offers Platform, but it specifically takes into account all of these things, like how do I get detailed information about what users are doing or not doing with offers? When do they want them served? How do they want them served? What don't they want served? And so a lot of that thinking went in. And so we are, I mean, the, you know, the reason we're, you know, in existence is really, we see this paradigm shift coming. And we think that there are going to be some big opportunities in the paradigm shift, as there always are. But there's also a lot of, you know, sort of casualties, if you will, if you don't catch the paradigm shift.
That makes complete sense. And I know that you've got, I'm sure, cool things that are going on inside the black box. I guess I'll just say, I hope it does involve at least some golden retriever videos. Are there some golden retriever videos inside the black box?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I got shot down for using a golden retriever as our, you know, mascot logo thing, but, you know, I'll try again.
Well, look, this has been, this is a super interesting conversation. And in a sense, as I said at the top, like a continuation of some things we've talked about, but I do like getting specific, even though it resulted in two incredibly old people talking about TikTok and Instagram. I know at least you have a lot of knowledge about this stuff. And it is really, I think, important for the industry to work through what does this stuff mean? And it has served, I think, to highlight and to put some separation in between the way that we increasingly, without even thinking about it, interact with certain technologies. And these are the technologies that are just eating the world right now, right? Like they're just chewing up a huge amount of time and effort and advertising spend and value. I just flew back from Silicon Valley last night, and so it's maybe on the mind. And then the terrific potential, I love your image of a stuck flywheel, right? Like there is a flywheel here in the card-linked offer space, or perhaps it ends up being called something else. But that thing is not really moving in the same way. Another way of putting it is you've got these platforms, TikTok, Instagram, and others that are very powerful, but they still lack the connection to the transaction and merchant world that I'm sure they would probably want to, right? And so you can imagine this however you want to, but you've got an opportunity to connect the dots between the kind of interactions that we're increasingly getting used to and then the transactions that we continue to still run because you got to buy soap, or at least, you know, I hope everybody still buys soap. And it is on my list now. Thanks for the reminder. This is just, I think, to me, been a fun and interesting conversation. Joe, any last words before we tie it off?
No, I think stay tuned. I think that, you know, you're going to see a lot of changes in this space in the very near future. So I think it's an exciting space, certainly for us.
Terrific. We've seen a lot of action. We look forward to some action from you at Definitive as well. Thanks a bunch, Joe.
Thanks, Dan.
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com. Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week.